The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's Nigel Pocklin, CEO of Good Energy. It's GWD. Good ticker. Nigel, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure. Nice to be here, Justin.
Now, we're going to discuss your interim results. This is to the 30th of June, 2024. And I think it's kind of people don't know the story. I think are missing a trick here because I've been investing in the company for a while and I've been looking at your transition from supply business. So for people not familiar, could you explain what's happening at Good Energy and what's happened since you've been there, please, Nigel?
Yeah, I mean, and it is a significant transition away from Good Energy's roots, which were very valuable at the time, but as we were an asset developer, so we actually raised money and built wind farms and solar parks. And then we had a supply business on top of that. And we've signaled a couple of years ago and then really put our foot down at the start of 2022 that actually we didn't think owning those assets was the right strategy for us. They had a lot of debt perfectly sensibly secured against them, but it just looked like a high leverage number. And they didn't really generate that much of the electricity we actually sell to consumers. It was only about 15%. So we had a very competitive auction process for those assets, sold them, pretty much cleared the debt from the company and retained over £20 million to invest. And that investment has then gone behind building an energy services capability. So what we're saying is we want to be able to install all the technologies for the energy transition, solar generation, storage, heat, potentially even EV chargers for homes and businesses, and then aspire to keep that relationship because of our long history as the UK's micro generation champion. For example, we're one of the best players in the marketplace for people who've got small scale solar. And we've really accelerated in the last year or so. We've bought three companies to give us the skeleton, really, of that installation capability. It covers the south of England at the moment, and we still have cash on the balance sheet to expand there. We've got new products and propositions in the marketplace really to support this kind of market. So I think the company has a very bright future, and it has changed significantly over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and so you say that wind farms and the supply side, like I say, is quite capital intensive. There's quite a low margin. Even the revenue was quite high. The margin was very, very thin. And so now you're transitioning to a supply side business, which, of course, low capital intensity, higher margins. And I think that if we talk about the interim results, it's worth, sometimes I often criticize CEOs who, when you have results out, there's swathes of text before the financial results. And mostly that's people trying to put it in context. They're trying to tee you up some bad results. But I think what Good Energy, you need to do this because I've said to many people, this is a margin story. Don't look at the revenue growth because the revenue is massive anyway. It's 200 million or something, or 94 million for this half. And It's not about that, because it's the supply side. It's very low margin, and the margins are coming in. So the revenue will go down, but the profit will go up. And so I think people can't see past that. So at the moment, if you could break down the business, so how much sort of, you know, revenue or profits even is generated from, you know, supplying your micro producers? How much is from services at the moment? Kind of services is quite newish.
Yeah, I mean, revenue is a bad guide to us, really, as you say, because 90% plus of our revenue comes from the sale of energy, the energy supply business. And the thing that drives that revenue is obviously the price of energy. And as we all know, as consumers over the last few years, regrettably, the cost of energy has leapt up. It's more than, it has at various points been triple the price that it was a couple of years beforehand. And you might think, well, that's great news for energy supply business, just means growth. And of course, it's being driven up because the cost of the wholesale market has gone up as well. So all that really happens is that our revenue goes up, our cost of goods sold goes up. And when the prices come up, our revenue comes off very quickly and our cost of goods sold come off very quickly. There may be some differences in timing because tariffs don't exactly adjust with the energy market. But what you really want to worry about is the as you say, the margin and the profit before tax in the company. And that's where the sort of what I would encourage people to look at the half year results in that context. You know, we announced a pretty strong profit at half year, which was actually 78% of last year's full year profit total. Most of that profit is being made by the supply business. So we do think we are capable of running what is quite a niche proposition in supply at a sort of sustainable single digit margin basis. We have different and more flexible pricing arrangements than most of the market because we're derogated from the price cap. We have a series of relationships with smaller generators that enable us to hedge forward very securely. So we are capable, we are running a sustainably profitable supply business, albeit in the sort of mid-single digit area. And it does tie up some working capital because you need to be able to sort of withstand those moments when usage leaps up and generation doesn't yet. And you'll get it back eventually, but there's a classic working capital issue to solve there. We have said to the market that by the end of next year, we aspire to have a services business. So that's administration of the services for people who already have solar and installing heat solar storage for people who don't, both domestic and business. And we think the profitability from that business can be equal to the profitability from the supply business next year as it grows into it and then surpass it in future years. So the nature of the company will change quite substantially over the next few years.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about, for example, from a consumer point of view, because I noticed recently, I did check when you announced your RNS that you are going to be offering the lowest charge for is it 6.75 pence for a kilowatt per hour for EV chargers, people who charge with you at certain times of day. Now, that's the lowest on the market, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, that we are likely to be more competitive for very specialist tariffs, particularly tariffs that are aimed at people with green energy technologies, electric vehicles, the first one. So if you look at the way, you know, our overall pool of electricity generation, we have about 30% of it coming from the wind. It actually, it's quite windy at night. There's plenty of supply and there's not much demand at night. So we've been able to pass on that sort of benefit to our customers. And the EV tariff is a time of use tariff effectively. And it says if you charge a car overnight, the moment, and there's quite a lot of volatility in the market, at the moment, it's the cheapest off-peak per kilowatt hour rate, 6.75p, as you say. The daytime rate is obviously higher because the price of electricity during the day is higher. So the overall tariff won't be the cheapest on the market, but nonetheless, it will be the greenest with a great price if you want to charge your EV during the night. And we bundle that with a ZapMap subscription as well. And obviously, EV drivers are a good target market for us, given the fact they've already adopted a green technology in their car.
Yeah. So, I'm an investor, but I'm also, you know, I'm looking into solar, and of course, I will be probably an EV owner soon. And so, I'm looking at this and thinking, there's a revolution going on, isn't it? I mean, because I'm thinking right now, let's say I get solar on my roof. I can then charge my car. I'll have very little fuel bills. I can precisely sell back into the grid. If people are listening to how you earn your money from this side, so let's say you're starting off with someone who wants solar from you. So you charge them for the installation of that. And of course, you've got a very high rating on Trustpilot, one of the best there. You are 100% green renewable. So that's you're selling, the other companies are say they're green, but they're probably not as green as they say they are because they're buying credits. So you've got that. And then ongoing revenue from that, what do you get? Do you get you charge for? So people want to, for example, selling the grid or store batteries. Explain the revenue streams because it's ongoing, isn't recurring.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, you're right. If you haven't got solar or storage, or then the first revenue we would earn is it's effectively a construction job. You know, we will do the work around design, specification, working with the local network to get you connected, and you know, have a team who will then install the equipment. As you say, with a those teams are all people who are employed by us, not subcontractors, and we focus on doing a high quality job. And generally speaking, the margins on that those jobs are about a net margin of 10%-ish. So good business in its own right, because consumers, you know, want the consumers we're targeting want a high quality job done. Yeah. You then say, okay, for an ongoing basis, and we've now seen about 20% of our install customers adopt an ongoing relationship. What can we do for you? Well, we can manage what technically gets called export, which is literally the power you don't want to use and you want to sell back to the grid. Yeah. So we'll pay you for that. Either we'll choose to lose a small amount of money on that payment for you because we wanted to encourage you to do the installation in the first place, but on an ongoing basis. Obviously, if we're buying energy from you as a supplier, it's like the rest of our suppliers in our portfolio, we'll then try and make a margin in terms of selling it on as an energy tariff. So there's export we can do, which on an ongoing basis brings margin because we're selling the energy to then supply customers. There is potentially maintenance we can do. So our heat pump, for example, or some of the few that are actually installed that remain connected. So we can monitor the performance of heat pumps. We actually offer winter tips to our heat pump customers as to how to basically what temperature to run it at and when you can afford to switch it off but maintain the right heat. So, there's sort of maintenance opportunity. And there is, for a lot of customers, actually an ongoing tariff opportunity. So that, we do the job, be it for a business or a domestic consumer. They're doing it partly for green motivations as well as economic ones. And then we can obviously, we look like an attractive supplier because we've got a genuinely green proposition and we've got a very high Trustpilot score. So we have a high service proposition.
Yes. And how do people sort of manage this? For example, you can charge a certain amount for, selling it on, and you can tell them exactly when's the best time to sell or when's the best time to use it for themselves or store it. All right. So how does that work? Is that by an app or how does that work?
You're now right at the cutting edge of the energy. This is the future of the energy supply business in the UK, we think. Yeah. And it will take take shape over the next 3 to 5 years. And frankly, to get anywhere near the sort of climate and green grid targets that the government is talking about, we're going to need mass adoption of particularly rooftop solar and storage. Mm-hmm. And the way the technology works today is usually you get an app which will tell you how your system is running. Most consumers in the lighter months of the year, so our usage is lower, our generation is higher, will probably find that they're self-sufficient during the day, so they're not actually taking from the grid, and that they then have a choice between storing or exporting. And so the app will help you choose which one to do. Most people actually at these current prices are better off actually storing their own and using it. We are moving towards a place, and the technology is still really nascent. We're going to troll. We've got a pilot coming up this winter where technology will make this decision for you. So in the winter, we'll be working with solar and battery owners, for example, to do exactly that. When should you store? When should you use your own power and get off the grid? Because the prices on the grid are very high at the moment. And we think we can save people £300 to £400 over the course of a winter just by consuming power more flexibly.
Yeah, well, no, I saw that blog piece by, I think it was a lady who works for you. She's had it 12 months now, isn't she? Yeah, 12 months. And she's not only saved money, she's made money back from the grid, which is very interesting. And I think that proposition, going forward, like I say, the reason why I think you're a very good play is essentially we are heading in that direction. If anyone who can afford gets solar, we'll probably will get solar. And what was the stat about, was it someone 7 times more likely to buy an EV or have an EV or put a solar in, or what's it? It's very an ecosystem that you end up enveloping. It envelops you, doesn't it? Because you think it's a no-brainer, really.
That's right. So we obviously know the UK's electric vehicle driver population pretty well because of that map. So that map is used by 75% of the people who drive an EV. And one of the things we learned from that audience is that once you own an EV, you are 7 times more likely to get solar panels installed on your house. I think for the pretty obvious reason that you've taken your spending at the petrol pump and it's now coming through your electricity bill. So you're a heavier user and therefore you've got a greater interest in, can I generate some of my own and can I generate it in a green way? So solar adoption amongst EV drivers is disproportionately high. And we're seeing, and increasingly seeing actually quite a lot of consumers, once you start talking about solar and storage, that actually the whole home becomes a topic of conversation. So, you know, do they want to change their heating system and go for a heat pump at the same time? We don't offer a standalone EV charger proposition. The economics of that are a bit challenging. But if we've got electricians on site and you want a charger, then we're very happy to install that too. And that makes more economic sense.
Yeah, but I assume it goes the other way around as well. Like, so I'm assuming I'm going for solar first, and you know, because I'm not, we've just got a car, you know, about a year ago, so we're not going to buy a new car now for a while. It's a hybrid car, but eventually we will go. We will use that to charge the car as well. So I mean, it starts going in that direction. So I'm assuming it's quite, you know, it's quite competitive, the solar market. So what makes, you know, like, a good energy stand out? I mean, amongst, because you are in the southwest area, aren't you, at the moment?
It's fragmented is the first thing to say. I mean, you know, there aren't that many larger firms doing this. There is, you know, at a domestic level, there is a very long tail of small operators who are installing domestic solar. You know, how do we want to stand out? Well, we don't actually want to join any sort of race to the bottom of the price curve in other heat or solar. There are a lot of the former big six suppliers who will do subcontracting out to small firms and maybe try and do that. We say, look, we're focused on slightly more complex jobs, slightly larger jobs where higher quality, better planning and design have a real premium to them. And that is that's the area of the market we are focused on. That tends to be the audience who are more likely to think of our supply proposition. So that's a big part of it. And the other big part is the balance between domestic and commercial installations. So actually the payback for a domestic customer is, you know, and it can be sort of 10, 11 years, but and people adopt solar because they want to save on their bills, they want to be greener, they're using more power. And some people actually like the greater self-sufficiency. You do meet customers in rural areas who are concerned about just reliability of supply. On the commercial side, you know, you've got one of those standard sort of business park type premises, so a large roof space, single story, used during the day but not at night. The payback can still be sort of 5 or so years on a solar installation. So a lot of CFOs and finance directors would leap at the chance of a project with a guaranteed payback of 4 years. And we've got a video in the results package there of a fastener manufacturer called Big Head, who save £4,000 a month on their electricity bills alone. And now we're managing their export and now we're managing their supply as well. So I think there is a huge opportunity for the UK's commercial rooftops, both because they are, you know, larger roof spaces, but actually because the people in the buildings can really save serious amounts of money.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I was talking on the webinar last night with members of my club, and I was saying, what I quite like about Good Energy here is, first of all, is the Trustpilot scores, the 100% renewable, you know, green energy. First of all, you know, you can't be fake in this industry. You've got to be, you know, you got, and the premium proposition a little bit. I mean, if someone's happy, you know, going to spend, what, £10,000 to put solar panels on the roof, you want it done properly. You don't want someone coming back and saying it's not working or that. So you wouldn't mind spending an extra grand or £2,000, just get it done properly and know and trust it. Because it's a major thing to do, to put something on your roof. You don't want people climbing up there, messing around and getting it wrong. You know, so it's, you know, I don't think people wouldn't mind spending, you know, extra, you know, £1,000 or so to get it right if you've got the thing around to spend. But I did say, what I quite like is that it seems to be, and I've, you know, reading your reports before, seems to be a very fragmented market, the solar market. And a lot of these are private companies, but you are listed and you have a big amount of cash. So it seems like it's ripe for opportunity, this, you know, looking at the very best producer, very best businesses that have very good sort of, you know, Trustpilot scores and the good business, and you can pick and choose. So at the moment, you do say you are looking for, because I mean, I'm looking, I'll share the screen here, but what people don't get the story here, this is on my website. Now, these are half-year results. Like, the growth, like I say, doesn't look impressive, but there was an exceptional year for, you know, energy supply prices, which means that comparing to last is very hard. But if you look at the value, it's ridiculous value here, because you've got 2x sales, PE of 9, EBITDA of 2, because you've got net cash pretty much of 33 million. Now, that's crazy when you see your market cap is what, around about 45. So it's absolutely nuts. And the health is superb here. And even if you look at the efficiency compared to last year, now gross margins have improved 24.24. Operating margins almost doubled. And return on capital employed has gone up as well. So it's all going in the right direction. Broker target's £5. So looking around, what are you looking at then, Nigel? There must be quite a few companies out there within your sights.
Yeah, I mean, our ambition is to have a national Good Energy branded installation capability, capable of doing sort of larger commercial work. If you're technically interested, sort of 50 to 100 kilowatt type installations, where we think there are higher barriers to entry, as well as kind of domestic jobs. We've got that capability across the south of England. The teams actually do travel for bigger commercial jobs. The results presentation's opening slide has a nice shot of the Good Energy solar team on the roof of the Yarmouth, Great Yarmouth Sea Life Centre, for example, which is quite a long way from their base in Dorchester, but they were happy to go and do a week's work up there. But we would like to bring in commercial capability if we can, because that's a growing part of the market, and to spread more nationally, which effectively means moving away from the south and further away. So we are in the market where we can see high quality businesses with, you know, a good degree of quality, word of mouth reputation, enough sort of an infrastructure that, you know, it doesn't depend entirely on the founder. And there are plenty of people to talk to. And obviously, you know, we are well known in that market, it's worth stressing. So people who've been in solar installation for a while know Good Energy because we were a longstanding feed-in tariff administrator. And there's some interesting conversations to be had.
Yeah. Apart from the natural, you know, march towards renewables, I mean, like I said, have you had any? I mean, we've heard that, you know, the new Labour government sounding like they are, you know, heading towards renewables as well, or at a faster pace than the Conservatives. Is that what you're getting? I don't know if you've released anything about that officially, apart from GB Energy. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and this will sound like a party political comment, but it's not intended to be really. I mean, I've been in role just over 3.5 years now. I'm on my fourth Secretary of State for Energy in its various guises. But Ed Miliband obviously had done this job before the last time Labour were in government. He's had the shadow position for some time. He's the first one to contact me on his first day in office and just wants to say hello and talk a bit about the agenda they're pursuing. So I do think he's got the right overall idea, which is that the UK's energy security is about the fact we're over-dependent on gas, not underproducing gas, and we need to get off that dependency and find security in renewables. We obviously await some of the specifics. Have we seen the lifting of the ban in onshore wind development, which may provide some more larger generators for us to work with? But what we're really waiting on is the substance behind one of the statements they made around looking for a rooftop revolution. I mean, they can see that getting to a green energy grid by 2030 is very difficult to do unless we see a huge rollout in domestic solar. So there's talk in GB Energy of support for community energy schemes, but we'll see what the specifics come through.
Yeah, I was thinking that. If they're really serious about this, then they need to, you know, incentivize people to, if they can put solar, if they got a roof to put solar on, it's viable. They should be, you know, they should be absolutely doing it. And so, if they're serious about that, hopefully it'll go that way. So I don't know, I'm quite clever as well. Not many people know this. And if you don't have an EV, I don't have an EV, but I joined the email newsletter ZapMap. I think that's very clever because you own 49.9% of that. Explain what ZapMap is. People are not aware of that. Can you explain what it is?
Sure. I mean, ZapMap is the UK's leading app for electric vehicle drivers. And what it really enables is for people to plan and pay for their charging outside of the home. So it's all about making sense of the public charge point network. And that needs a bit of sense making of it. There are about 40 charge point operators in various guises. And what ZapMap gives you is a live map of where are the charge points? Are they working? Are they busy? And for about 25% plus of the fast ones, it actually lets you pay through your phone. So you're no longer standing there fiddling with various apps and things. It's a sort of tool that you would want to use if you're driving from, I don't know, London to Leeds. It knows what kind of car you've got. Here's where you should stop. And here's how you can pay for the charge points. So we backed them originally as a sort of very small startup, and then we put some more money along with another investor. And we're very pleased with the progress. I mean, it's sort of, there are about 1.6 million downloads of the app now, which is probably equivalent to the number of battery electric vehicles on the roads in the UK. The registered user base is just above 900,000. So the market penetration is very impressive, really, because it's the only tool of its type. And it's much more comprehensive. And we are, with the team, really trying to turn it into a business based on selling data and insights back to this industry. So it's the best way to learn actually how people are driving and charging cars. It has a subscription product. So if you want to use it in your in-car dashboard, for example, you need to pay a small subscription. It's $2.99 a month. And it licenses its data to other people to build their products as well. So the hope really is that if you've built a very bespoke data play, it's hard to replicate that data. Some of the data comes from the community of drivers themselves. You have a real position of strength, then we can grow out the business from there. And obviously, Zapmap customers have a natural affinity with what Good Energy does. We have products and tariffs for EV drivers, for example, and they are likely to become installation customers. So there's a good fit there too.
Yeah, I think that's a very clever play. I mean, like I said, we are, you know, in its infancy, the adoption of EVs at the moment. I don't know what percentage it is. Still, I think single digits, isn't it, in the UK, percentage-wise, adoption of maybe getting up double. But it's very complex. I didn't realise this. I'm not an EV driver. And some people said it's 5-10 times more expensive in certain areas as opposed to charging at home. So and where to charge, when to charge, how to pay is a lot to get your head around. And I thought having the most used app, and yet I've seen articles, you know, quoting Zapmap quite a bit now regarding EV stats and all this stuff. So you obviously are the market leader in that, and that's very impressive. And what was even more impressive, I got the email newsletter recently, and you put an advert for Good Energy on there. It's 6.75 kilowatts, right? You can charge. Could you imagine people traveling out and about? I don't know what the going rate is, but I heard it's multiples, isn't it, charging the price.
Towards 30 pence a kilowatt. I mean, there's been a substantial increase just really as the energy crisis has bitten in terms of the cost of public charging. It's still the case, I think, however, that owning an EV is a much cheaper proposition in terms of running costs and actually putting petrol in your tank. So, you know, people shouldn't be put off. And I think what Zapmap can do is just help people understand where the best and most competitive pricing is and where the faster charges are.
Yeah, well, if I'm out and about and I'm using Zapmap there and I'm, you know, charging my car and it's cost me 30 kilowatts or whatever, even more than that, and then I see an advert from you saying you can charge for 6.75 pence to the... Oh, I mean, you know, it's a very targeted audience, isn't it? That email. So it is, and I can't see people thinking, well, that's amazing. So, I think it's very clever that. But anyway, going forward, the outlook finally, I mean, are you happy with how things are going since you've been at CEO? And what's business like at the moment?
Yeah, I am certainly happier than, you know, I took over and had to defend a hostile bid, which was unwanted. But we did so with a lot of shareholder support, happily. And then we had to face into the energy crisis, a lot of government intervention in the energy market. We've now had a sort of a good couple of years where we've been able to get on and sort of initiate our strategy, really. And I'm very pleased with the progress. I think the market, whilst the prices are higher, is stabilizing. That will make understanding our future earnings statements a bit easier, perhaps. And so it's good that we've, as I said, earned 78% of last year's full year PBT at the half year point. So we were very happy as a board to reiterate our guidance, which is for a full year PBT figure of about 6.5 million. Happy to signal that support with an increase in the interim dividend. So that went up 10%. And we are seeing some real progress in terms of our rollout of services. And it does mean overall, the business is in a very different place to where it was three or so years ago. And all we now need, well, hopefully, is that eventually, as we continue to deliver, the market catches up with what we're doing and what to me also looks like an unusually low valuation for the business begins to correct itself. You know, some things we don't make easy for ourselves. We're on AIM, and small cap world has not been that. It's been a bit volatile for the last couple of years. We're an energy supplier, albeit a niche one. But I do think there's a lot of scope for the share price to go up as more and more people realize what we're doing, and also the earnings come through from the services business.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's ridiculously undervalued at the moment. Like I say, you consider the cash you have, the fact you are profitable, you're growing the margins, you're in an industry that's growing, and you have that, you know, amount of money to acquire decent businesses that'll be, you know, positive and accretive in some way in earnings and revenue. And I just think it is crazy. Like I said, you know, enterprise value of around about 10 million, which it's nuts, really. I mean, you know, in the sector you're in. So, and like I say, we've been in a really tough market. I think, do you know what? On September the 6th, 3 years since the high on AIM, and we're still in a bear market. So that's one of the toughest markets like I've ever experienced, really. And, you know, it can only get better now. You know, the Fed's reduced interest rates, Bank of England, in fact, they should have just announced this now. But, you know, we're on the path to a downward trajectory on interest rates. So I think it's going to get easier. But, hopefully.
I think that's right. And I think, you know, and you're the expert on picking in trends, and you've got various graphs I've seen. You know, we have seen an increase in investor interest in the company really over the course of the last 12 months.
Yeah.
And occasionally that's driven quite a lot of rallying in the price. There's certainly a lot more liquidity in the shares than there were a year ago, which is good. There you are. That shows it quite right. Yeah. So that gives me some sense that actually, you know, there is a potential for that higher valuation to be achieved, and certainly we'll carry on delivering on the plan and look to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at that, I mean, this, you know, it's a support and resistance here. And I say around about, if you're buying anywhere near this level, you know, 230, 260, anywhere really with this, it's good, because that's basically, you know, that's the cash value. The business is hardly valuing anything else. And you think you are profitable and you're in a growing area. And like I said, you have that cash to acquire these businesses where many companies, you know, don't have that growth capital. But anyway, Nigel, it's good to chat to you. Take enough of your time, and hopefully we catch up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Look forward to it, Justin. Thank you very much for your time.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.